What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Boy, big topics this morning, recapping a busy weekend, including USC and UCLA bolting to the Big Ten. The mega conference move continues, and it's all driven by TV money, ESPN and Fox. Will the Big Ten stop at 16, or is Notre Dame in their crosshairs? Or, gosh, I don't know how Notre Dame could say no at this point with the money that their next TV deal will bring. We'll see where that goes. Also, the SEC at 16 with Texas and Oklahoma. Does this move maybe expedite that move? We'll see. And can the Big 12 be aggressive and try to go after some of these Pac-12 schools? Because the Pac-12's now been hit in the gut with the decision of their biggest market, Los Angeles, and really Southern California, vacating to go to the Big 10. That's been a big conversation. Texas recruiting continues to roll with the commitment from one of the top defensive linemen in the East Coast. Also, Texas baseball, David Pierce loading up or lining up his new coaching staff. Woody Williams going to coach pitchers. Former Baylor head coach Steve Rodriguez will be the hitting coach for the Longhorns. We hope to talk to David Pierce at some point this week and get some confirmation on these and really the hows and whys of the coaching staff changes that he's making. So it's a busy morning. Plus, we've got Jeannie Buss with a cryptic tweet on Sunday night that's got NBA fans wondering what the heck's going on. I like this text. Why is Jeannie Buss tweeting that like she's not the damn owner of the team responsible for the entire situation? Very fair question.
Yeah, really. Was she just bored last night or something?
She's acting like a son of a bitch. You're right. I mean, acting like an innocent bystander. Like,
by the way,
you're the owner.
Kobe
of the team?
Never fought Bruce Lee.
Ooh.
Think about that.
But Kobe would have whipped Bruce Lee's ass.
No, yeah, really.
I watched Kareem.
Like, I saw
Mamba,
Kareem.
Mamba would have choked him out.
I don't think so. I saw what Kareem did to him. Kareem over and over and over again.
Have you ever watched that whole scene?
That little diaper. He wore that little diaper. Remember Kareem was in that little diaper looking thing?
With the glasses on?
With the sunglasses. The sunglasses never came off.
I don't get it. How is a guy who basically hated everybody during the time he played wanted to act, though?
Oh, man. Because he's in Hollywood. He's in Hollywood.
He didn't win an Oscar for Airplane.
Oh, man.
Come on, man.
Roger Murtaugh.
Come on, Roger.
Oh, man. Have you ever watched that whole Kareem scene with Bruce Lee?
It lasts
10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. It goes on and on and on.
It's like the longest fight scene you've ever seen.
And his long-ass skinny legs trying to hit Bruce Lee.
Pretty good. So, yeah, the Laker debate has been raging for sure. Also, Kevin Durant. And, Longhorn fans will always be fans of Kevin Durant, the lifetime Longhorn. But, man, he's hard to figure. He's hard to figure. I mean, he finally seemed like he got what he wanted, right? He couldn't live with Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City. Couldn't stick and stay and try to finish the deal there and win a championship. They were that close. So he joins the Golden State Warriors and took a lot of criticism for that, for joining an already historically great team, kind of a front-runner move.
That dude seems like a guy with a whole lot of grudges. Zay, he will hold a grudge, won't he?
Oh, he's one of the pettiest players in the history of sports.
Well, and he's passive aggressive too. I mean, remember he never really confronted Russell Westbrook. The issue there was Russell Westbrook would hog the ball in crunch time, and he's got one of the best scorers of all time on his team. Hey, Russ, you're the point guard. Get him the ball. He might win more of these big games down the stretch, but Russ wanted the ball. But instead of confronting him on that and leading and changing the dynamic, Kevin Durant, what did you say, Zay? He's dipped.
He dipped out of the East.
And like Russell Westbrook never saw it coming. It's like, what? He's gone. And not only is he gone, he's going to a team that just won 70-some games in a championship. And, of course, he won two titles there. We know that. He was a two-time finals MVP, so great player. But then when Draymond Green and he got cross and Draymond was mean to him.
Draymond got all mean at him. Like you did Perk?
Yeah. See you later. And guess what? Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying we told you so, but when we talked on this show, when he joined forces with Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn, did we really think that was going to work? Because Kyrie Irving hasn't worked anywhere since he left Cleveland, and he couldn't get along there even though he won a championship with LeBron. I don't know. So now here he
Kevin's
is.
Kevin's got to like you. Kevin cannot.
It's so odd.
You can't get crossways with him. He won't forgive you if you do that.
But 2 years into it, and a chance this year to come in for a third, because your guy Kyrie just opted in to his contract. They're trying to get Ben Simmons righted. I mean, instead of Kevin Durant, you know, being the leader and saying, let's roll this back. Let's run this back. We can do that this year, right? We can beat Boston if we have everybody healthy. We can beat Philadelphia.
We can get Ben off the couch and get him playing.
Well, yeah. Well, that's what a leader would do, right? He would go
many different couches.
Instead, I mean, stunning everybody, saying, I want to be traded after signing a new contract just a couple years ago. And the two teams he lists are the two teams with the best record last year. So he wants to go front run again and go to Phoenix or Miami? Zay, help me out with this Kevin Durant.
It's disappointing. It is, you know. I want Kevin Durant's legacy to be remembered as a guy that made his own way and created the opportunities himself to win ball games in an organic way. And he seems like he's done everything but that. And you talk about him being passive aggressive. Kendrick Perkins was just on JJ Redick's podcast, and Perk played with the Oklahoma City Thunder when they were going through all that crap they were going through. And he was shocked when he got traded from Boston that Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant never got along. And Kevin Durant would have his crew and his people, and Russell Westbrook was more of a team guy and hung out with more of the teammates and stuff. So Kevin Durant's always been a weird guy. We see his mom all the time and stuff, and that's cool and all, but she be cussing out the refs and stuff right behind the Nets bench, and it's just so dysfunctional. But, hey, if he's happy at the end of the day, then you can't knock that, huh?
No, you can't. But, I mean, it's to me, it's here's what's sad. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, he's one of the greatest scorers that's ever lived. But, you know, legacies are built. We're talking about the best Laker, right? I mean, legacies are built on being an alpha, leading your team, taking your team to a championship. And, you know, if this is what I'm saying with Kevin. Like, stick and stay. You know, convince Kyrie to get his – let's do this. Get Ben Simmons on board. I know you can't control other human beings, but you can try to lead them. And you can try to become the alpha, which maybe it's just not in his DNA. He's just not built that way.
I don't think he is. I think, like someone just said, he's kind of childish. He is like a big child.
Yeah.
He's not like a grown-up. You know what I mean?
That's why I said earlier, who is advising him? Because if you have an advisor and they said, Kevin, what's the worst thing you can do for your image right now? Demand a trade to two of the best teams in the league. That really would be the worst thing you could do for your image. Maybe for your own good.
So Jimmy Butler yells at him and screams at him at a practice someday when he wants out.
Miami.
Oh, Jimmy screamed at me.
It is what the Heat need. They need everybody could use Kevin Durant's ability to score the basketball, but I don't know. We'll see where he lands. I just think.
Say, he's made an awful lot of money in Brooklyn for not playing that much, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Kyrie made
$198 million's worth.
$198 million.
I mean, it's You know who kind of reminds me of, and several people have mentioned this, is your guy Ricky Williams. That they're extremely talented, but they're different. I mean, they're not the typical, you know, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan.
No, but
Steph
Ricky
Curry.
Would fight you to the bitter end, and he would rather be the underdog and fight you back. He wouldn't want to just go to jump up to some team. He's not like that. He doesn't play that kind of stuff. He doesn't need to have good players on his team. He just wants to go play. Kevin wants to be with the best team and the best situation. He wants the situation to be just right for him.
Yeah, that's
true. Where he gets along with everybody. Nobody's going to cross him, because the minute you cross him, then he's got to have his grudge deal going on, and he's out. That's why going to Miami just doesn't seem right. Jimmy Butler's going to get crossed with him at some point. He's going to say, Kevin, cut it out, you big-ass baby. And that's going, oh, no, see what he called me.
Well, it's
call me a big baby.
I defended Kevin Durant when he left Oklahoma City, because I could understand him wanting to get to a bigger market, get to a bigger spot, get out of Oak City, and build his own brand. But going to Golden State was very criticizable. But when you land in Brooklyn, right, you're in New York. I mean, you're in the Big Apple. You're in the Mecca. And now you want out to go to an easier spot because this one's too hard. This is where I'll say he's like Ricky. I'm not saying he's exactly like it. He marches to the beat of his own drum, and he doesn't really care what anybody else thinks. Right? Ricky's that way too.
Ricky would use drumsticks. This fool's using his fingers to beat his drum.
That's true.
You know, I always thought he would end up his career back in the D.C. area, say, where he could then say, I'm the one who did this.
That's what he should have done. When he requested this trade, he should have said, I want to go back home. I want to go play with Bradley Beal and finish my career in D.C.
Where I'm the guy and I'm the one who brought a championship if I can.
Yeah, because if they win a championship with D.C. with him and Bradley Beal, then his street cred goes up crazy amount.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's similar to LeBron going back to Cleveland and bringing the championship to a bad organization. That's right. Well, yeah, that's right. I mean, that's why I say the advice of, okay, if you want to request a trade, that's going to look bad, Kevin. You just signed this contract 2 years ago. But your teams of choice had the two best records in the league last year?
Yeah, and this is a part of that career that it's coming to that point. Zay, he probably should go, if he could go back and he wants to build a legacy, do it back at your home where everybody loves you. Your mom's not far from you. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
she can do your wash and stuff like that.
I mean, we know D.C. is not the best town, but still, it's home
for him. They'd love him.
They would. That's exactly right. All right, so that was going on over the weekend. Big stories, man, with the Big Ten adding the two Los Angeles schools, which is huge. Locally, does that impact Texas? We'll continue to discuss David Pierce building his coaching staff. And, yes, interesting. I was just reading something on Twitter that is dropping right now. We'll try to get some details on that. But the mega conferences are coming is kind of the tale of college football. I think the next 3-4 weeks are really, really interesting because it's a confluence of a lot of things happening when it comes to, again, conference realignment, right? So Big 12 Media Days are coming up middle of the month. Conference has a new commissioner. Conference has a new opportunity to be aggressive and maybe take advantage of what happened to the Pac-12. And that's where I say, does Texas and Oklahoma have a chance to negotiate something out to where, hey, you guys go on and do your thing. We're going to go over here and join the Southeastern Conference, which I think everybody wants to see happen sooner than later. I'll be really interested because there's a new leader of the Big 12 who, as I said earlier, Buck, where he comes from, which is Brooklyn, right? He was with the Brooklyn Nets for a long time, helped move them from New Jersey to Brooklyn. Then he was working for Jay-Z and Roc Nation. So he comes in with a completely fresh set of eyes to everything that's happening. But he's known in the industry as a visionary, as just a long-term big thinker. Something tells me he'll get here and going to say, guys, why are we messing around with Texas and Oklahoma? If they want to go, let's get them out of here. We need to start our new life. We need to start what we're going to be and begin to rebrand that. And, man, the absolute gift that just dropped in their lap is this USC and UCLA move to the Big Ten because that makes everything in the Pac-12 available. So why mess with Texas? I'm not saying Texas and Oklahoma are going to have to pay some exit fees to get out.
Sure.
I'm saying let's find an agreeable number. And then even if we have to extend this thing down the road so Oklahoma's paying out over 10 years to get out.
I just don't like people sitting at the table that have nothing to do with the family,
Yeah.
For the next 2 years.
I know. And that's remember, the presidents hire the commissioner. So the presidents clearly of the remaining Big 12 schools, clearly we're looking for someone who's got a fresh set of eyes and has a long-term vision. I just can't imagine the vision is, hey, let's make Texas and Oklahoma stay in this conference until 2025. And
let's get out of there as quick as we can with them.
While we're trying to grow the new what we're going to be. There could be, presidents still in the Big 12 that want to hold Texas to that, and Oklahoma maybe still can't afford their way out yet.
Of course they can't. They didn't win that College World Series. Screwed up the money.
That's what I don't get, though. I mean, everything we talk to in Oklahoma says we don't have the money. Well, don't you think ESPN will loan them the money? If they need it. I'm serious. I mean, Fox just landed a huge counterattack to what they did last year with USC, with Texas and Oklahoma. They just landed USC and UCLA. That was a huge response from Fox.
Texas can loan them the money. See Quinn doing them bombs? Well, man.
Sure they could, but it's ESPN that's driving this thing. So to do it faster, to expedite it, ESPN could cut a check on that. Disney could cut a check and say, look, you're just going to pay us back. I mean, why would it be wrong for Oklahoma to take that?
It wouldn't be.
And then over the first 10 years of their new contract with SEC, they pay it back. They just take it out of their...
Or a nice 30%.
Well, I mean, ESPN wants this too. ESPN wants this too.
Yes.
And guess what? With the move of USC and UCLA, they're going to start play in 2024. We know that.
Yeah, they're done. They don't have any waiting.
So if you're ESPN, you want to be on the ground and running by at least... You'd like to get ahead of that by 2023 if you could. That's where I wonder the next 3 weeks, are there negotiations that can take place between Texas, Oklahoma, ESPN, the new commissioner of the Big 12, and come up with something to let's say, hey guys, let's do this. By next football season, by next calendar year, 2023, we're playing in the SEC.
That window is closing, isn't it?
Well, because look, the Big Ten's not done either, and Fox is not done. I read a great story over the weekend about what some media experts think is going on with Fox now approaching Notre Dame and saying, hey, look, we've got the Big Ten's now 16. We'd be happy to make it 17, and we want you. And, you know, because, you know, right now NBC, it's never really known because they're a private university exactly what Notre Dame makes on the NBC deal, but the estimates are it's $30 to $40 million annually, right, for NBC to air all their games. Well, the teams, the next contract for the Big Ten is expected to exceed $1 billion annually, which means every school in the Big Ten, now including USC and UCLA starting in 2024, will collect north of $100 million annually in media rights revenue. $100 million. Well, you do the math. You don't have to go to Notre Dame to know this. 30, 100 is more than 30. So if the Big Ten comes with an offer that is three times the size of what Notre Dame, and you know NBC can't match that. Notre Dame can't turn back to the
Peacock. The only thing they can do is say, you're going to keep NBC in there as part of this deal.
That becomes the real question. Does Notre Dame go to NBC and say, hey, Fox wants it, and we want to go to big, but we'd rather stay independent. And what if they have some type of an agreement where Fox partners with NBC and says, hey, you can keep airing the Notre Dame games, but we're going to roll them into our conference. I mean, that would be, and this is where we are with the power players, which are ESPN and Fox, and you know,
but that would throw a lot of power by Notre Dame too. Well, that would be possible.
And that's where I say, you know, it was the SEC with ESPN's driving it made the big move last summer. They made the big power move. Well, the Big Ten just responded, and if they landed Notre Dame on top of USC and UCLA,
quite the response.
That's the response. Well, then how do you respond to that? You got to get Texas and Oklahoma into that conference, and you got to begin playing these games. You need those rivalries. You need Texas playing Texas.
Need that
A&M.
Revenue.
Yeah. And, you know, because selfishly I would like to see that. At the same time, I think it would be best for the Big 12 to make their move and let Texas and Oklahoma go, find a negotiated deal that we can all agree to, and you go blaze your next trail, because I really think with vision, the Big 12 could land in a really good spot if they attack the Pac-12 right now. And they go to 16, too. They don't sit at 10. We're 12 when Texas and Oklahoma leave. They go to 16. They add four more from the Pac-12. You pick the four best ones. The Arizona schools jump to mind.
Well, I'm just saying this. Stanford is not going to be out of thoughts of people.
I tend to think they will, but you might be right. But if I'm the Big 12, I'm looking at the desert schools.
I'm definitely looking at Oregon.
Well, because think about Arizona State, right? They become prime rivalries for Texas Tech and the western flank of the of the Big 12. Utah, you already have BYU. Well, now you're adding Utah, so you have a great rivalry there in that state. You add Colorado, which is an old school, but you also get the Denver market, which is a good thing, which increases your footprint and your media footprint and foothold. And now you're to 16. You know, and obviously when people talk about Washington, Oregon, Stanford, could you go there? You know, those are up for debate. Same time, I think those are the ones immediately that make the most sense for the Big 12 regionally. But you also are playing in you know, four time zones then. If you pull that off, which you and the Big 10 are the only conferences that can say that, that you're playing games in four different time zones over the course of a Saturday, that would be a smart move for the Big 12. But we'll see. And I think it may happen pretty quick because the dominoes are beginning to fall. TV deals are being negotiated. And so teams are trying to – and you know a team like Clemson is saying, hey, going to their press, hey, what are we doing here in the ACC? But remember, the ACC teams just signed a grant of rights deal that is through 2036.
So yeah, you're not getting out of your deal.
It doesn't appear. I read some other stuff from some legal experts that have seen the TV deals or the media rights and the granting of rights deals with the ACC teams. Because you know what I was told was the other big fish that everybody wants, the Big Ten and the SEC, is North Carolina. They see that as a huge school because it's great academically. The Charlotte area is growing like crazy. It's a nice media market, and it's a good school. So North Carolina would be seen as because in the Big Ten's perfect world, they could add Notre Dame and North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, there are your 18 teams. You're coast to coast. You're adding another big state school in North Carolina to go with all the other big state schools in your conference. And – you know, you're 18 then, so it's an even number. And, gosh, Notre Dame and North Carolina. But everything I've read is that, you know, North Carolina, Clemson, Miami, Florida State, those teams are stuck. And there's really no way out of those contracts with the ACC right now. So lot to be unpacked here over the coming probably month, Buck, the month of July, because all the conferences will have their conference meetings.
Yes, all their meetings to take place.
And so a lot of conversations to be had, and you know TV executives will be at all of them. And we will be at the Big 12 meetings. And are we going to go to the SEC meetings when they start, Buck? We're going to Alabama?
Roll Tide, yes.
Of course. You know, we go to Arlington. We're going to roll the bus out to the Deep South.
Hell yeah. We'll go right to Legion's Field if we have to.
Right. Go visit.
We'll go to Tuscaloosa.
And now, where do they have it? They have it in somewhere in Alabama, the Big 12.
Did they not have it in Dallas SEC. A couple years ago? Didn't they come here?
They did something here. SEC meeting, media days.
That was a couple years ago. They were.
Trying to see. Because obviously, as soon as.
I don't know if it was at Jerry's World, but it was.
They're in Birmingham. They're in Birmingham, Alabama. Where they are. All right, we'll be back. Your thoughts on all of that, the changing landscape of college football. It certainly is changing. You mentioned the Rose Bowl. What's the Rose Bowl do?
Two Big Ten teams playing the Rose Bowl?
Could they do that? Hey, Ohio State, USC, and the Rose Bowl.
Oh, if it comes to money, they will.
Well, you know who won the Rose Bowl last year? Was in it? Utah.
That's right.
They won the Rose Bowl. And Kyle Whitting, that's what I'm talking about, the Big 12. Go get Utah. To pair with BYU and the desert schools, and all of a sudden you've got a western flank of your Big 12 that's pretty strong. It's pretty strong. All right, we'll come back. Your thoughts on all of that, plus the other top stories of the morning. It's a Tuesday. It's going to feel like a Monday, though, but it's only a four-day work week now that you're up and out. Appreciate you being there here on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Good, bad, and ugly on a Monday. Well, it's a Tuesday, but it feels like a Monday. But we do good, bad, and ugly Mondays. But we'll do it today. Recapping a busy, busy weekend. Including, can I say good on a new Guinness book, Guinness World Record holder, 86-year-old Bette Nash. Or Betty Nash, B-E-T-T-E, Bette Nash, is now the world's oldest and longest-serving flight attendant. She is 86 years old. She's been a flight attendant for 65 years.
Holy moly.
Eastern Air. American Airlines. She started at Eastern Air in 1957. She's still in the air. How about that?
Would you still
call
up them, there?
What'd you call them? Servants? Plane servants? Man servants?
Man servants. Those are those dudes. Man servants.
So props to her. That's awesome. That is awesome. Also, props to me for being wrong again. But Utah did not win the Rose Bowl. Ohio State won the Rose Bowl 48-45. I forgot the incredible comeback.
And the wide receiver going nuts.
Yeah, Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Who's back again.
15 catches for 347 yards. Hey, Kyle Whittingham, I want to cover him.
Quinn wasn't throwing them bombs,
no,
though.
No, C.J. Stroud was. He set a Rose Bowl record with 573 passing yards.
Yeah, Quinn was watching C.J. throw them bombs. That's what he was doing.
How do you throw that many passes, 570 yards, and no sacks? They didn't sack the dude one time. And you threw it to the same guy over and over. Looked like the former Longhorn Cameron Rising was going to get a win over the Buckeyes. They had that big lead in the first half.
And Cameron
half.
Rising is back another year, I believe.
Yeah, he is. Utah's got a chance to be pretty good this year. As we look forward to August and the countdown to the top teams, our Horn Top 20 countdown, that'll begin. Also, we've given Joey Chestnut some love this morning for 63 hot dogs, eating the wieners at a very high level. But we did not give enough love to Eric Badlands Booker. Eric Badlands Booker, who won the pink lemonade chugging contest yesterday.
Oh, my. Is that a gallon of lemonade?
He drank a gallon of pink lemonade in under 30 seconds. Gallon. It was out of a big mason jar. Zay, you drinking the Kool-Aid?
Zay, that dude wants to eat the jar.
That's a big fella. That's a big fella.
I just hope homie's all right.
Man.
Well, it's got room.
And it
for
was
it.
Hot yesterday too.
In Jersey? Is there do that in New York or New Jersey? It's in New York, right? Or crossing Jersey.
I think they've changed their destination. That used to be out on Staten Island somewhere, I believe.
I don't know what's more amazing, that they still do that or that people go to it. Can you imagine going to that?
And watching them do that, I wouldn't eat all day.
But like, hey honey, what do you want to do on 4th of July? Let's go watch people glutton, if that's a word. No, not doing that.
Joey must get some cash from Nathan's.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you're in New York. There's a million things to do. You're going to go watch a food eating contest?
No.
And do you have to pay for it?
They're taking tickets to go into that crap?
Oh, no way. No thanks. Out.
No.
Out of that. All right, we talk about Kevin Durant. Where is he going to go? I saw this, the five most interesting trade landing spots
Sixers.
For Kevin Durant. How about this? This guy says Phoenix Suns for DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges, three first-round picks, and two first-rounders. Did that get it done? So you compare.
I wouldn't do that.
If you're Phoenix?
No, if I'm Phoenix, I would. If I'm Brooklyn, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't. Ayton, Bridges, and then picks for Kevin Durant. That would pair Durant with, obviously, Devin Booker. And the young Suns. Here's one that says, would you do this day? Memphis Grizzlies for Jaren Jackson Jr., Dylan Brooks, three future firsts, three swaps, and a lifetime
Jaren
supply
Jackson,
of barbecue.
Jaren Jackson, that bum.
Why would you?
Barbecue.
So obviously that would then pair Memphis, Kevin Durant with Ja Morant, which would be a pretty dynamic package. This one suggests trade him to the Celtics for a package including Jaylen Brown, Grant Williams, and a bunch of picks.
Get rid of Bernie Mac there.
Or here's one that says the Atlanta Hawks for, here it is, Durant, Joe Harris for John Collins, Clint Capella, Bogdan Bogdanovich, and a bunch of picks.
No.
Those are the five, according to TheRinger.com, most likely.
Kevin should go wherever he wants to.
Wherever it's the most comfortable.
Where he needs to be comfortable, where it's nice and soft, where he has a soft landing.
Zay, where would be the best landing spot for Kevin Durant, in your opinion? Even though we all agree it's not a good decision on his part, in my opinion, to ask out just 2 years into this deal. Where's the best spot for him?
Probably the places that he wants to go, Miami and Phoenix. I mean, you know, playing with Chris Paul and Devin Booker, that has to be very enticing. And then you playing with Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. I'd love to play with those guys also. But, yeah, who knows at this point? I feel like the Brooklyn Nets are going to wait until training camp starts, and we'll see what happens from there. But all those trades you name, ain't nobody going to – the Brooklyn Nets ain't no way they're going to do those trades.
And, you know, the Nets, I mean, kind of like the Pac-12 was blindsided by the move of – I guess they should have been seeing that coming, by the way. But the Brooklyn Nets are just like, what? Kevin, we did everything you asked us to do.
I know it's Brooklyn. I mean, why didn't Kevin ever end up with the Knicks, say, out of all this?
Oh, he really hates the Knicks. Hates their front office, everything they stand for. Yeah, when he was a free agent, he made it known that he was not going to the Knicks.
I mean, Brooklyn just seems like the right spot for him, right? It's Rock Nation, it's Jay-Z, it's Brooklyn.
Trying to go back home.
I mean, if you win there, if you run this back and you can actually win there, you're iconic in that city. I don't know, man.
Trying to go home.
Go to the desert, you know. I mean, and again, he's trying to join a team, the two teams that have the two best records in the league. I know they didn't win the title, but they're two already really, really good teams, which he's already done this one time.
And Bradley Beal hasn't left, right?
No, he signed that super duper
deal.
Yeah, like $256 million or something
He's
like
still
that.
Got it, doesn't he?
Got what? Like, still got
all the
some
skills?
Game? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Which I wish he didn't do that. I wish he would have became a free agent, would have took at least $40 million less. I think he would have been all right. But whatever, Bradley Beal. Get your money, young fellow.
Get your bag. Kind of like Nikola Jokic did over the weekend.
Yes.
Nicole, he got his. So, you know, and this is, you know, I asked you this earlier, Zay, should the Mavericks be interested in Kyrie Irving? You said no. But there are some in Dallas saying the Mavericks should get in on the Kyrie Irving deal, pair him with Luka, and it's a low-risk deal because you wouldn't have to give up a ton to get him because he's going into the final year of his deal. So it's really a one-year try-and-see kind of thing. But and if it works, you know, Mark Cuban has the money to sign him to a mega contract. If it doesn't, you move on. But you know, it's hard to find a player as talented as Kyrie Irving to pair with. When you're trying to replace Jalen Brunson, Kyrie Irving's an upgrade there. But you say no way.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about straight hoops, then absolutely sign him. We're not talking about the mental game. That's
okay.
The scariest part about Kyrie, because who knows what's going to happen with him? Who knows what's going to happen with this world to where he's affected by it? So I wouldn't do it. But if you're just talking about straight hoops, hell yeah, he's a bigger upgrade than Jalen Brunson. But it's not all about hoops.
And KD does
moves.
Not want to be a part of a rebuild like in San Antonio, right?
Oh, hell no.
That is a rebuild, right?
Yeah.
Well, you
ain't happening.
Well, you were out last week when Zay introduced us to Because the Spurs are, in Zay's opinion, officially tanking. They traded their best player, DeJounte Murray, to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in the line for the next big name, which is Zay. Remind us.
Victor Wembanyama.
Victor Wembanyama. You got to see this kid, Buck. 7'3", he's out of France. But he'll remind you.
Not next year, the year after, right?
No, this year
this
coming
this
up.
Summer.
Okay, well, KD, just go ahead and go there and get ready for him.
Victor Wembanyama, 7'3". And then I watched some film and I see what he's talking about. Offensively, he'll remind you of Kevin Durant. He is smooth. He's got a beautiful jumper.
KD and Giannis.
And then, he's a mix of KD and the Greek freak. And then on defense, he protects the rim like a Rudy Gobert. I mean, he's a rim stopper.
7'9" wingspan, can move.
And just, it doesn't look like a big guy. Like, the kid Chet Holmgren kind of looks clumsy at times. This dude, man. And so everyone's lining up. Zay said he's the best prospect to hit the league since LeBron, which was 20 years ago now. So everyone will be tanking for Victor Wembanyama. But remember, you got to win the lottery. Not just have the worst record, but you have to win the lottery. And as they pointed out to us last week, the team that he plays for in France is owned by one Tony Parker. Tony Parker.
Oh, Parker.
Tony Parker. So that is where they are. The Mavericks are looking for a running mate with Luka. Rockets are building around young players.
And I'm looking
what
to
they're doing.
Beat Tiger shooting 77 or whatever. I want a piece of that action there, Tiger.
Come on, Tiger. Also on the good of the weekend, we mentioned Austin FC. Come back. They fell down 2-0 early in Denver. They need to figure out these slow starts, by the way, Austin FC. But they did rally to win the match 3-2 and pick up three more big crucial road points. They have the second most points of any team in the MLS, trailing only the LAFC. Also, the Astros have won 7 in a row. Yordan Alvarez. How about back-to-back walk-off wins for Houston? They beat the Angels on Sunday. The rookie Jeremy Peña belted a 2-run homer. They win it 4-2. And then yesterday, opening a series with Kansas City, Yordan. Astros came back from 5 back to beat the Royals 7-6. 2 outs in the ninth, home run, game over. Astros have won 15 of 18 and own the largest lead of any team in any division, 13.5. They lead the Mariners in the pretty hapless AL West these days. So that's there. And you mentioned Tiger Woods. This would be on the bad side. He's back. He was playing in Ireland in a pro-am and shot 77 in his first round. And Jordan Spieth was disqualified from that event for picking up his ball. Can't do that.
Made a mistake.
Pro-am. He made a mistake.
He still has to play in the team stuff, though, right? Still okay.
Well, Scottish Open's this weekend, right? I mean, a lot of big. Now, I think 14 of the top 15 in the world, including Scottie Scheffler, Jordan Spieth, are playing in that Scottish Open, which precedes the British Open, which Tiger Woods is confirmed he's playing in at the Old Course. Do you think he contends?
No.
Yeah, me neither. It would be nice to see, though.
A third time?
But it doesn't look like his game is there.
Only played 2 competitive rounds of golf. No.
No. And I got to say, on the Live Tour commentary of the morning is that they had it over the weekend in Oregon, Pumpkin Ridge, and the winner was Brandon Grace. He won the event.
$4 million.
Yeah. And his team won. That team included Dustin Johnson and, because they have individual winners, but they also have teams over 54 holes. And the Dustin Johnson, Patrick Reed team won it because of their play and Brandon Grace. But their fourth player on their team was a guy named Pat Perez, 46-year-old PGA Tour journeyman.
Mm-hmm.
How about this? This is the argument for the LIV Golf, whatever we think of it. Pat Perez was not winning any tournaments anytime soon on the PGA Tour, right? He showed up for that, his first event, shot 80 in the final round, 80, and collected $900,000 as part of the winning team.
Damn!
And just for the entry fee, where he got to show up.
That's right. Tiger shot a 77E with an eagle.
Ooh. Think about that, though. An 80? There's guys on the PGA Tour going, that dude shot 80 and made $900,000? What are we doing? Well, that's what they're going for, the money. And did you hear what Justin Thomas said about those guys? I'll read this quote to you.
Oh, it's getting uglier and uglier. It's really not ugly. It's not getting better.
Wait till they all get back together at the British Open. That's where there could be some real, I don't want to say hostility because they're golfers, but like just some bad mojo and bad feelings. I'll read you what Justin Thomas said about the LIV players coming up. some of his own, you know, friends.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have that for you. Also, the Longhorn situation. I'll get you caught up on the latest recruits and those that could be coming this week. And we'll get you set up for the rest of the day here on the Horn. It's a busy one. It's a Tuesday. There's a lot to talk about. We appreciate you being there. We're coming right back.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E with you. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. Time to get back at it. But the heat is on, Buck. The heat is on. 100. Oh, my gosh. How depressing. Just looked at the long-term forecast.
103s.
Forever.
Yep.
101, 101, 102, 104, 104, 105, 102. I mean.
What's tomorrow? Tomorrow Wednesday?
Tomorrow's already Wednesday.
We got a golf match tomorrow, and I will be wearing white pants tomorrow.
Oh, sweet. You going to have your white pants on?
Yes. I'm
going
to come in
here. Are they tight white pants?
No. They're really not white. They're kind of vanilla-y, you know what I mean? But not like white.
Don't soil yourself the white pants.
Partners say, once we get you there and you crap in those white pants, that's not going to be good. I said, that's not happening because I'm on right now. 83 last week, a little 83 I shot in the heat. I'm back. I'm ready for Tiger. Tiger going to shoot 77. Better be careful about how many strokes he gives me.
You took some money from your buddies last week.
I did.
Over at my place, Onion Creek.
I did.
Onion Creek.
I went after those fools, too. Yeah, and I wasn't kidding. You know what I wore, too?
Uh-uh.
I wore that black collarless Tiger shirt, and that damn thing all damn near stuck to me. It was so
hot.
Hot
outside.
I mean, it was like stuck on my skin. That's not happening again. The black shirt is out. No. Say, I tried to go out there with a black shirt on, like I was Johnny Cash. It was so hot in that black shirt. I was like, tears were coming out of my eyes. I wasn't even sweating anymore. I was like crying. It was so damn hot.
Oh, man. But at least you and Paulie took down the...
Yeah, the blacks won.
Well, Paul's not black.
Well, Paul gets to be...
He was for that day?
For that day, yeah. Get to be a black for a day.
So midday they do shirts and skins. You guys do blacks versus whites?
Yes.
And so you were on the black team, wore a black shirt.
I'm always on the black team.
Oh.
But Paul gets to be, you know...
Honorary black?
Yeah, for a day. And I said, how you like that now? And he goes... You know what?
Once you go black.
That's right. He said, ain't that bad.
Ain't that bad. Hey, so on the way to the break, we're talking about Justin Thomas and his comments to the LIV golf players.
Oh, that's going to get nasty.
Yeah, Justin Thomas says, I just wish one of them would have the balls to say, I'm doing this for the money. Like, I personally would gain a lot more respect for that.
And he's a surly dude. I guarantee you, that cat right there will throw down with you.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's a little guy.
He's
a little fella.
He's an angry little fella. He will throw down, say, that little cat right there, Justin Thomas, will throw down with it. He's been hanging out with Tiger. He's not soft.
Well, and he went on to say, look, he's been watching some of the coverage, and he's like, you know, these are my friends, but they're lying. Like, talking about good of the game, growing the game, that's not true. Just say you took the money. You're just taking the bag of cash.
Yeah, Padre Harrington, who's an older fellow, is going to be, he's playing – At the tournament, he says, "Oh, we're all good friends. We still get along. Don't let them fool you for one second that we're not buddies with these guys." I'm like, that ain't what Justin's saying. Justin's saying, "I'm not buddies with these." He's pissed.
Yeah, well, he was buddies with them, but
it was.
He said,
you're right.
Have the balls to say why you're doing it. But we'll see. You also had a lot of criticism over the weekend for Taylor Gooch, who played in the LIV event, and said he's never played in a Ryder Cup, but it felt kind of like a Ryder Cup. Which, of course, was met with, like, outrage and ridiculousness, including his own teammates who have played in the Ryder Cup. Dustin Johnson and Patrick Reed are like, not really.
Your own teammates are after you?
They're like, not really, Taylor.
It's yeah,
really,
and where they're playing like this Pro-Am right now is where the Ryder Cup is next time.
Oh, in Ireland?
Right? Am I right about that?
I think
what's the one
right.
in France? Or is it in France? President's Cup is in France, correct?
President, I don't know. I don't know where it's going to be this year.
I think President's Cup's in France. Next Ryder Cup is where they're playing right now.
But in the President's Cup, that's like in South. It's Australia and South African players, correct? But I'll look that up at some point here. But we know the U.S. Open is coming around the corner. Mm-hmm. Not the U.S. Open, the British Open, and we just had we've got the Scottish Open this weekend. So getting ready for that.
Or Tiger's back may not be that bad, but they're thinking it's going to be a little bit warmer.
In
Ireland, yes.
The old course?
The old course.
Well, we know this. It's not as hilly as what he was dealing with in Tulsa when he couldn't make it. It's certainly not what the Masters was all about, walking up and down and the change of you know, elevation. The old course is a, you know, it's the old course. But now he may have to climb in and out of some of those big old bunkers.
Oh, I swear I thought I saw him in a cart in his pro-am.
Well, that won't happen at the old course.
No, it will not.
That won't happen at the old course. We do know that's for sure. Hey, can I mention one other good that I didn't see where he finished, but, you know, last Wednesday we talked to our buddy Omar Uresti again, Mr. Austin Golfer, and he was playing in the John Deere Classic this weekend because he has five exemptions, and he used one this weekend. He made the cut. Omar made the cut with the young guns and ended up making a paycheck. So nice job, Omar.
And by the way, don't think that our prayers don't go out to the people of Illinois and what happened on the 4th of July. And I thought something else happened maybe in Philly, but our prayers go out to those people just on a 4th of July wanting to have a very nice, you know, we haven't been able to get out, but once again, we have kind of crazy violence that it's just too much of right now.
Certainly so.
So I pray for those families and the people that it's going to affect for a long, long time. And it should start affecting us.
Well, I think it is, but nothing seems to change as far as the news stories, and it's terrible what we saw in just north of Chicago yesterday on 4th of July.
I recruited that area before.
When you're at Illinois?
Yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so good, bad, and ugly from the weekend. Good stuff today. Every hour podcast, our thoughts on the UCLA-USC move to the Big Ten, the power move by Fox, responding to ESPN. How does it domino down? Is it fair to say Notre Dame is the next question? Next big question, Notre Dame?
Yes.
And then how the Big 12 responds.
I don't know why I have Stanford on my mind, but I think that's a heavy hitter when it comes financially. I don't know about the sports part. Now, they've won the Governor's Cup or trophy a few
Director's
times.
Director's Cup, yeah.
Director's Cup, but...
Well, they got a great athletic department. It's a great school. You know, David Shaw and the football program has kind of fallen on...
Yes, it has.
And I've heard that there's just some of those California academic schools that...
Just not going to make it.
Well, they're not interested in the arms race. They want to play football, but
they got money to get into it, but they have to play school, I believe, there.
Oh, big time, big time. And that's, you know, it's headed to the mega conferences, and you know, the academic side at Cal and Stanford, maybe you're like, well,
you're right,
that can be for them. We're not doing that.
I agree.
We'll see. Oregon wants to get into one of those mega
conferences.
Yeah, they
do. Hell yeah, they do.
So does Washington. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll do it again. It'll already be a Wednesday, which will be fun. Say great stuff. Buck, good to see you.
Good
glad
seeing
you're
you
back.
Guys.
We'll get some good
time
off,
back.
But we're ready to rock and roll all week long. 6 a.m. tomorrow. Coming next, it's Light the Tower. Jeff and Snoop today. Also, Shirts and Skins through your midday. Ball don't lie. It never does. Every afternoon, 3 to 7 with Harge and Rod. Have a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday.